Please remain standing and turn with me this evening to Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for this portion of Scripture from the book of Mark. We thank you as we continue to study this topic of the Sabbath day. And what it means to us, what a wonderful treasure it is. We pray that your Spirit tonight would make your word clear. I pray that you would work in spite of my weaknesses in proclaiming your truth, and that only your truth would be proclaimed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start tonight by just turning right to the place in our hymnal, page 861. 861, we have already read this. Paragraph 8 of our chapter, the last paragraph in this chapter of religious worship on the Sabbath day. We've looked at it, but I want to read this together again. As we finish this chapter this evening, we've looked a lot at worship in detail in the first part of this chapter in our confession. We studied the fourth commandment in detail when we went through the commandments, and now we're spending a couple of weeks wrapping up now on the Sabbath as well. So let's read this paragraph one more time on the top of page 861 on the right-hand side of the page, paragraph 8. "This Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord, when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe a holy rest all the day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up the whole time in the public and private exercises of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy." So tonight, I want to simply focus our study tonight on the words at the end of this paragraph and in the duties of necessity and mercy. And that's why I chose that text from Mark 3, 1 through 6, as we see the mercy of Jesus Christ with this man with a withered hand. Last week, we also looked at Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14, how we are to call the Sabbath day a delight. We are to delight in this one day in seven that God has given us since the creation week for our good. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God made the Sabbath for man because he loved man. If you remember nothing else this evening, remember this. God made the Sabbath for man because he loved man. It's a gift. It's a blessing. It's a delight and a joy and something to be looked forward to. It ought to be the best day of our week. By Monday evening, we ought to be saying, "I cannot wait for Sunday again." And looking at our confession last week, we looked at ways to keep the Sabbath holy unto the Lord. How can we do a better job of keeping this one day in seven holy? We looked at first by preparing for it, by preparing our hearts for the Sabbath day and preparing our lives for the Sabbath day. A little preparing can help us to keep the day holy. Second, observing a holy rest all the day from our own works, words, and thoughts about our worldly employments and recreations. Striving to put aside those things which can wait until tomorrow. Changing our focus from that which is often making a living or entertaining ourselves or doing other things to the things of God. Third, spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship. Do we avail ourselves of the things that are offered to us, that which is available on Sunday? Do we spend extra time reading God's Word or praying, family worship, or reading a good Christian book or a magazine, things that will feed us and encourage us? And fourth, we get to this duties of necessity and mercy, those other things that also need to be done on that day. So hopefully, each week, we all get better and better at the Sabbath. It doesn't happen overnight. For a generation or two now, we have abandoned the idea of Sunday as a Sabbath. In fact, if you look at history, you can probably see a slow decline through the last 100 years in the way that Christians spend their Sundays. To where today, a person striving to keep the Sabbath day holy and striving to cut out the other distractions in the world and focus on God, then they are usually the ones that are strange to the world. And yes, Christians should be strange to the world. We do not fit in. The world is not our home. But we ought not be strange to the rest of Christianity. I think that Christians who do not remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy should be the strange ones. And much of that, there might have to be education, because we've gotten away from teaching about the Sabbath or the Lord's Day as a day, even within the realm of Christianity. But then once we patiently teach others what the Bible says about this one day in seven, then those who disregard are strange at best, or disobedient to God's word at worst. So what about these duties of necessity and mercy? What are these things? Notice the word duty that's listed here. These are things that must be done, that have to be done. That in the doing of them, there is a giving glory unto God. In our text tonight, we see that Jesus healed a man with a withered hand. In order to get the context, we really have to go back to the preceding chapter, back into chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. If you want to turn back there, you can follow along. We read chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, but really, this starts back in chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pick heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who are with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Who should be the one defining the Sabbath in Scripture? The Son of Man or the Pharisees? And the Pharisees had turned this day into a day, this day that was supposed to be a day of holiness unto the Lord, into this day of do's and don'ts and regulations instituted by man. We don't see that in Scripture. We see a command to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We see an emphasis all throughout Scripture in giving God one day in seven for worship, or as our confession states, the public and private exercises of worship. Chad Van Dixhorn, in his book Confessing the Faith, writes concerning this part of our confession, "It is probably worth saying that activities of necessity and mercy should preferably be those best suited to the day. Thus, tornadoes, earthquakes, fires, and floods may require Christians to rush to the aid of our neighbors on the Lord's Day. However, in most circumstances, we should discern when it is wisest to use our different gifts and skills. Building houses for the needy, except in unusual circumstances, is best suited as a weekday activity. Practicing hospitality, while important in many circumstances, is perfectly suited for the Lord's Day. The main point is that between worship, hospitality, and since it is a Sabbath, could we add fellowship and rest, Christians can easily devote their whole day to the Lord. A day with morning and evening worship and fellowship and hospitality in between tends to answer most Sabbath practice questions. Indeed, we would do well to avoid being over-prescriptive in defining the structures and activities of that day. And we should be aware that pious efforts to justify some sensible Sunday activities are often far too fancy and ultimately undermine the uniqueness of Sabbath worship and acts of mercy. We do not need to call a walk in the park an act of worship or a deed of mercy to legitimize it. That would only have the effect of redefining biblical categories so broadly that they could lose their usefulness. Let us beware of our own needs and strengths as well as those of others. And then let us remember the maxim that our Lord left with the Pharisees. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, from Matthew 12:12, and also from Mark chapter 3 that we just read there, that man with the withered hand. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm? Is it lawful to heal or to kill? And isn't that what we see Jesus arguing here, doing good? Helping this man with the withered hand on the Sabbath was an act of mercy. Helping those that may be dealing with a tornado or earthquake or fire or flood is an act of mercy and also a necessity at times. But just because something is convenient to do on Sunday does not make it a necessity. If someone has a flat tire on Sunday, helping them change it may be an act of necessity and mercy. Me going over to the gas station on Sunday because I forgot to fill up my car on the day before may be a necessity to me in order to get to work on Monday or even to church on Sunday, but it's not included in this phrase of acts of necessity and mercy. That would be me sinning on the Sabbath because I forgot to fill my car with gas and I did not remember to do it the day before. What we want to avoid is not the doing of true acts of necessity and mercy on the Lord's Day, but using these words, acts of necessity and mercy, this clause in our confession, as a scapegoat to make everything that I'd like to do, I desire to do, or everything I think is noble to do on a Sunday, and then call that, this is an act of necessity and mercy for me. I must do this thing. Helping my neighbor do something on Sunday that I could do on Saturday or Monday is not an act of necessity and mercy. It's an act of convenience. And it's sinful for me to help in a way that causes my neighbor and myself to disregard and violate the Sabbath. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 15 through 21, as Nehemiah is dealing with those in Jerusalem who are disregarding the Sabbath, we read, "In those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them on the day when they sold food. Tyrians also who lived in the city brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the people of Judah in Jerusalem itself. Then I confronted the nobles of Judah and said to them, 'What is this evil thing that you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers act in this way? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Now you are bringing more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath.' As soon as it began to grow dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and gave orders that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And I stationed some of my servants at the gates, that no load might be brought in on the Sabbath day. Then the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside the Jerusalem once or twice. But I warned them and said to them, 'Why do you lodge outside the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you.' From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath." From Nehemiah 13, you can read further in the context of the story. But Nehemiah sees the Sabbath being profaned, and he realizes that God's wrath was upon the people for disregarding the Sabbath in the past, would be upon them again for disregarding the Sabbath. I wonder, do we consider the fact that God's wrath is just as kindled at us for breaking the Sabbath day? When we buy and sell on the Sabbath or twist things I'd like to do, my own pleasures, into acts of necessity and mercy and try to call it that, are we not too disregarding the plain teaching of Scripture? Put Nehemiah's situation into 21st century America. How many Christians today would be on the side of Nehemiah and lament the fact that the Sabbath was being profaned? And how many would be willing to lay hands on the merchants who were abusing it? Contrast that with how many would be willing to purchase something from the merchants and call that purchase an act of mercy. After all, they went to all the trouble to bring their wares into Jerusalem, and we ought to help them out a little bit, shouldn't we? The best help you could give a merchant on Sunday is to not give them your business. And I pray and pray more businesses close on Sunday because it's not profitable any longer to be open that day, that we truly honor the day as unto the Lord. G.I. Williamson, in his commentary on the confession, speaks of how we misinterpret this word necessity in the confession. He writes, "For example, What should a Christian do if his employer requires him to work on the Lord's Day? Some would say, I will have to work or else I will be demoted to a much lower salary. But such a reason does not make the work itself a necessity. If a physician says, I must operate on this man today or he will die, he speaks of a work of necessity. But if a carpenter says, I must report on the construction job or I will endanger my position, he is still faced with the fact that the work itself is not necessary. One could just as well argue that it is legitimate to steal. I must steal because my family needs more money, as to argue that a work is necessary on the Sabbath merely because personal inconvenience or hardship is involved. And I hope you see the difference that Williamson's trying to point out between the doctor who says, I must save this man's life today, and the man who simply doesn't want to face hardship because of his job, not a necessity. If our job causes us to sin against the Lord, then our job can become our God. Better yet, when applying for a job, let your employer know when you can work and when you can't work. Sundays are off limits, but if I have to work Saturdays or nights, that might cut into some of my free time or time I'd like to have, but it doesn't cause me to sin against God. In my recent studies on the time of the confession, when our confession was written, some would say that the Westminster Assembly says a lot about the Lord's Day in the Fourth Commandment, in each of the catechisms, as we went through the Fourth Commandment, through the larger catechism, and even the shorter catechism, or in this section of the confession, when we read these last few paragraphs of this chapter. However, when one looks at the history of that day in the 1600s, and how many were concerned at that time for the sake of the nation of England regarding what should be done and what should not be done on the Lord's Day, people wrote hundreds and hundreds of pages about this topic. The Westminster Divines said relatively little. They didn't say a lot. Basically, they reiterated the scriptural principles regarding the Sabbath or the Lord's Day. Basically, they tell us what Scripture tells us, that one day in seven ought to look different than the other 6 days of the week. That we ought to focus our thoughts and our attention on the things of God rather than the things that occupy so much of our time for the rest of the week. That we ought to make sure we spend time in worship and only do acts of necessity and mercy when it comes to the idea of work. I think we have to be more honest with ourselves when it comes to items of necessity and mercy. Nobody I know keeps the Sabbath day perfectly. It's hard to go through the day without any thoughts or deeds regarding our worldly employments or recreations. It's difficult for us to focus all of our attention on the things of the Lord. It's easy to forget things that we should do to prepare so that on Sunday we don't have to do things that cause us to sin, like filling my car full of gas, or go to extra work and maybe prepare meals so I don't have to prepare, or because I didn't prepare them the day before. But I hope and pray that each Lord's Day, each Sunday, you and I become better at how we keep the Sabbath, that we would look for ways that we could keep the entire day holy. Acts of necessity and mercy. Asking the questions like this: does this require immediate attention? Does this require immediate attention? Can it wait until tomorrow? Should it have been done yesterday? Maybe it should have been done yesterday and I need to do it today, but that still doesn't qualify as one of those acts of necessity and mercy. Until we can honestly answer those types of questions, we will not be able to sort out between matters of necessity and matters of convenience. And rather than look for ways that we can do the things that we desire to do on Sunday or view Sunday as some oppressive or restrictive thing, let us instead look at the opportunities that we have for worship, the opportunities we have for fellowship, the opportunities we have for study, the opportunities we have for hospitality, for necessary service. We can serve others on the Sabbath day and see how rich that our Sundays can be. May God convict us of the ways that we sin by disregarding the Sabbath. And may God give us a heart to remember the Sabbath day and simply strive to keep it holy. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And it is your word that directs and guides us. And it is your word that convicts us. May we, instead of being like the Pharisees, where we start counting our steps or we get caught up in the whole list of things that we should do or shouldn't do. May we focus in on the plain, simple truths that your word tells us to do. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That we should engage in acts of worship corporately with the body of Christ. That we can come before you and give our praises to you. We can pray corporately, sing to you, hear your word proclaimed. And we can do those things individually and in our homes. We can fellowship. We can serve one another in hospitality and those acts of necessity and mercy. Help us to be a more merciful people as they see ways that we can help and encourage and strengthen. And to be able to distinguish between those things which are true acts of mercy that need immediate attention and those things that we should do the other 6 days of the week. Help us not to look for convenience or loopholes away from what is a joyous and wonderful day that you have given to us as we remember that the Sabbath was made for man, that you gave it to us for our good, because you knew in your wisdom that we needed this one day in seven to focus on you and your goodness and all the things that you have done and continue to do in your providence for us day in and day out. And so many times Monday through Saturday we get so busy that sometimes we don't spend enough time reflecting upon you and thanking you for these many things. In Jesus' name, amen.